Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a singular honor for me this morning to lead this worship service, and I take this opportunity to thank Minister MacPhail and the elders for giving me this opportunity and for the confidence that they have reposed in me. My dear brothers and sisters, on this special day, I did not merely want to pay tribute to mothers, but rather send a message concerning the challenges and responsibilities of mothers. From the theme, How to Be a Godly Mother in an Ungodly World, I would like for you to concentrate on four words: Godly Mothers, an Ungodly World. You do not need to be a brain surgeon to see the conflict here. Whenever this day is celebrated all over the world, a somewhat saintly attention is paid to mothers. The commercial world profits from the purchases of flowers, telephone calls, travel tickets, and gifts that some of them could never use. Of course, there are those mothers who are neglected and ignored, and for whom this day holds no special recognition. Now, lest you feel that I'm straying away from the topic, I'm going to be a bit more specific here and to define the two words, godly and ungodly. Godly embodies attributes such as love, peace, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, selflessness, gentleness, and faith in God. Godliness begins and ends with putting God first in our lives. Matthew 6:33 states, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." In Ephesians, we find that the godly have no fellowship with the unfruitful or the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The ungodly then becomes the antithesis of godly. The question is, how do we marry these two contrasts in proposing a solution to this dilemma? First of all, I would like to commend senior mothers who should have already taken the test and stand ready to be role models to those younger mothers and mothers-to-be who are now and will be grappling with some monumental challenges as they try to understand the responsibilities of motherhood. Our scripture lesson this morning gives us some guidelines, not only to women, but to men in general. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 4 says that we, the aged men, should be sober, should be grave, and therefore sound in faith, in charity, in patience, and the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Sadly, in our country, too many children are becoming mothers. I'm not going to bore you here with statistics, except to say that some 60% of the population worldwide comprises mothers who are in their teens. If there are no godly instructions, it is a fact that the absence of godliness in the home can result in ungodly children. Therefore, special care should be taken to give the education system a boost, and they should have the same degree of emphasis on the physical activities and moral training for all youngsters, especially for young girls who will graduate to the status of motherhood. 1 Timothy verse 4 and 7 admonishes that the godly refuse profane and old wives' tales and exercise themselves rather to goodness. This means that we should shun the very presence of evil that can deter us from living godly lives. The first step in the process of nurturing a godly mother is the teaching of strong Christian principles and the godly living exhibited by older women. The mission of our church is very apt in this regard, pursuing Christ-likeness and community transformation according to the Word of God. In essence, we must extol the virtuous role of motherhood. I read somewhere that we no longer live in a Christian culture. Today, religion is thought of as an illusion, and Christianity is an oppressive rather than a liberating influence in people's lives. For me, this is rather frightening. It's a frightening thought, and something we all have to try to prevent from becoming entrenched in our children's minds. Our pastor has been concentrating on the view that we should see Christianity not as a religion, but as a relationship. That concept is very pertinent to the success of godly mother. The mother that has no relationship with her children cannot in any way be effective in her parenting. Jesus had a very special relationship with his mother, and there are many biblical mothers who exercise godly teachings to their children. Hannah, for example, was a godly mother and a godly wife, and a mother who gave the instructions to her son. In order to give Samuel better training, she placed him in the care of Eli the priest. The Apostle Paul, in counseling his protege Timothy, said, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure that dwells in you also." And then there is Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. When she learned of the miracle in her life, she sang the Magnificat, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Jesus himself placed high value on women as godly models in the ministry. I am reminded here of a hymn that we used to sing all the time at christenings, and it really praises the godly aspects of mothers. "When mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bid them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled, and sweetly smiled and kindly said, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, for I will receive them and fold them to my bosom. I'll be a shepherd to these lambs, so drive them not away. For if their hearts to me they give, they shall with me in glory live. Suffer the little children to come unto me.'" When I was a boy, almost 100 years ago, I was under the tutelage of all the adults, but especially the women in the community. All of the mothers had the help of others in rearing their children by exemplifying the basic teachings of godliness. They never failed to discipline and counsel the children. Church and Sunday school attendance, memorization of verses of scripture, participation in morning and evening prayers were mandatory. We were obligated to follow strict adherence to godly behavior in the same way that we were drilled about the cleanliness of our bodies and of our environment. A good example of this is when it was time for us to take a bath, usually in a tub outside behind the barn. I could hear my mother's voice now saying, "Cleanliness is next to godliness, and don't forget to wash behind your ears and under your arms." I never knew the significance of this, but to this day, I am still conscious of these instructions. Now, I'm not saying that these exercises would produce godly children, but I am sure that they can help. It is imperative that youngsters be attentive to instructions they get in Sunday school or from others who have benefited from the training. Rest assured that once the child has passed the formative years, it is very difficult to attain the requirements of the task of training up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Now, let's look very briefly at the other side of the coin. I do not have to belabor the fact that we live in an ungodly and broken world. Besides the escalation of wars and the struggle for power, we are bombarded by the threat of nuclear war, acts of man's inhumanity to man through torture, abuse, and disregard for human rights. It is disconcerting to see in recent times the indiscriminate destruction of many magnificent museums, schools, churches, synagogues, and mosques. To make matters worse, these horrific actions are beamed into our living room through the advancement of technology and the media. The frightening part about all of this is that these tragedies are so prevalent that we tend to become inured to the crime of genocide and the sufferings of children in war-torn areas, for example. I applaud the work of our church in the Grant and Bainstown areas of our community. There are times when we feel that the forces of ungodly seem to be stronger than those of the godly. Therefore, we as Christians must be vigilant and ready to serve in those areas that are consciously being isolated from the mainstream society. In searching for ways to survive in this tortured world, we must rely on God, on His Word, to sustain us in the efforts to maintain a godly environment. Let me leave you here with just a few of the scriptures that support this claim. Thessalonians 5:17 exhorts us to pray without ceasing. Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to the life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Romans 8:38 and 39 state, For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can sum up all of this in that wonderful chapter, the verse in Luke 10:27, and also in Deuteronomy 6:5. Love God with all your heart and mind and strength and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. My dear brothers and sisters, let us all try to emulate these wise sayings. I trust that I have been able to make a fair assessment of the question and to suggest ways in which we can assist mothers in acquiring the qualities for facing the challenges of the ungodly world. Those mothers who I referred to earlier in the Bible were all living in very troubled times, but they managed to instruct their children to follow the path of godliness. So I strongly urge you to follow the example in the biblical way as your earthly mothers taught you in rearing children in a godly manner. I was fortunate to find something as a closing prayer called a parent's prayer, and I would like to share it with you because I think it holds a number of wonderful ideas that we can adopt. Heavenly Father, make me a better parent. Teach me to understand my children, to listen patiently to what they have to say, and to answer all of their questions kindly. Keep me from interrupting them or contradicting them. Make me as courteous to them as I would have them be to me. Forbid that I should ever laugh at their mistakes or resort to shame or ridicule when they displease me. May I never punish them for my own selfish satisfaction or to show them my power. Let me not tempt my child to lie or steal. Guide me hour by hour that I may demonstrate all I say and do in honesty that produces happiness in the long run. Reduce, I pray, the meanness in me, and when I am out of sorts, help me, O Lord, to hold my tongue. May I ever be mindful that my children are children, and I should not expect them to be judgment of adults. Let me not rob them of the opportunity to wait on themselves and to make decisions. Bless me with the bigness to grant them all their reasonable requests and the courage to deny them privileges I know will do them harm. Make me fair, make me just, make me kind. And fit me, O Lord, to be loved and respected and imitated by my children. Amen.